Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Anna, who is here to speak with us about her experience of participating in the year-long retreat last year as we prepare for looking at the coming year. Welcome, Anna.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for being with us. So registration, I think, is just open for the year coming up. How you do anything is how you do everything. So we thought it would be fun to highlight what the experience was of participating in last year's retreat. So maybe you could tell us a little bit about that for you.
Yeah, it's funny. I was just considering that right before, getting unmuted and, throughout mm-hmm. the time since I got the email, and it was awesome. I don't know. I mean, it's kind of like hard to describe how amazing it was. And I think the way I can really feel it is the fact that it's, it's not going on right now. We have a little break here.
Yes.
And I can really feel how much of an impact it was having. It continues to have on my life, but just how important mm-hmm. that support has become.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so not having it in its absence, kind of realizing, wow, that really had a big impact.
Yeah, and it sort of was like an organizing force for my day. I think, having that time, being available for that time from 9 to 9:30, it was like an organizing force for my whole day. It was like the way I was able to be available because I'm at home with my son is to be, have him in the stroller during that time so I could listen, or be in transit from one place to the other. So really having to like get everything together. So I was out the door at like 8:50 and we were, at a place where I could really listen and be there by 9. And even like the way I, made plans and everything like that was all coordinated so that I could be available from 9 to 9:30.
Such a great point, Anna, that it just, it points at the power of commitment, really any commitment. But in particular, so here's this practice commitment, this thing that you've decided that you want to have as part of your life. And I think it's so supportive, I hate to say, to have it first thing in the morning. Sorry, East Coast people and Europe.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
But, I'll bet you anyway, if we had someone on from the East Coast, that they could talk about sort of around lunchtime and refocusing. And I bet there's a whole other thing there. But having that, as you say, that organizing principle of really, I know it starts at this time, and so I'm going to be there. And so everything is going to arrange around that, and what a support that is to start my day.
Yeah, and that feeling of connection, like, we had the mm-hmm. practice focuses every mm-hmm. day, and then checking in with Sangha every day, not on the weekend, but we got to process what happened on the weekend on Monday. Every day just really fostered, like, a sense of connection. So, even I'm so blessed to live close to center, so I get to go to center, mm-hmm. but even having center and not having that during the day, I really feel like there's more, it doesn't feel like Sangha's as close as it did whenever we were participating on that daily, radio show.
I agree. I completely agree. I was really looking at that today, of that place where it's not that, we want to get to a place where I have to have X, Y, and Z in order to be okay and that, because that's, so contrary to what practice is. But that place where when there's space and there's not as much structure, it's much more challenging to really stay where we want to be. And so to have, a good amount of that structure in our lives is really, it's really a kindness.
Yeah, and it's magical how this stuff works, but it's like, every day when I listened, it was always talking to my experience, and we were all focusing on the same things, but, it was always kind of, a way to refocus, to really bring, to experience life as the workshop that it is, to see it all as an opportunity to practice, and I think that was the part that was really, I think a really powerful transformation over the course of the year was just like everything. Yeah, that too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. that's part mm-hmm. of the workshop.
exactly.
I think that was because it was, it was like it was like part of the everyday life kind of stuff.
Exactly.
I don't know. I think because it was once a day, it wasn't like, pick your pick your best experience over the week, and you know, maybe
exactly.
You know, get in the queue on open air, and maybe one, you know, it was really just kind of
every
like
6 months you're gonna
every day step. And I think the encouragement to get in the queue every day was just was genius too, because then you're just bringing whatever, you know, everything you're practicing with, you know.
Exactly. I just had the image of life as the conductor. And so we put ourselves in the queue every day, and then it, you know, moves its thing. Now you, Anna, now you, and right? And it's your time to talk about whatever you're seeing. And as you say, I love that point, that then we talk about whatever's here right now. And oftentimes it's the, quote, mundane, right? It's the stuff that's just the everyday fabric of my life, which, as we know, that is where the transformation is, because conditioning would love for us to kind of pick and choose the most important and the most, but who's going to be making that decision?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so I can't even, you know, I for me, it was just such a transformational experience, the year-long retreat. You know, I think having, you know, at the beginning of the year when I signed up, it was like, how am I going to, you know, get be free from 9 to 9:30 every day? But just, I think making the effort to make it work, making the effort to be there every day, you know, in some days maybe I'd be a little late, or, you know, something would happen and I'd have to listen to a recording, but still there was that, there was that wanting to make that effort to be there, to show up for Sangha, to show up for myself, to show up for practice, to connect with, you know, connect with all that is, and also connect with Sangha every day. I think that was really, really transformational. I, you know, we talk a lot about, of like, you know, showing yourself that you are worth it, like that you're important, that I care about you. I love you. I want you. You know, I want you to have everything you want.
And your transformation, your well-being is not last place. It doesn't come after everything else is done and paid for. And this is important.
Yeah, this is important. And if you know I'm going to have to make that doctor's appointment at a different time, like, you know, because I want to be there for this. I'm going to do it. I think that was
a really transformational
part of it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just making it a priority. You know, it's in my calendar. So it's not a, I guess I can't because I have that doctor's appointment. And as you say, sometimes, you know, I mean, my son falls and needs to go to the doctor. Okay, well, that's different. Then I don't need to schedule my dentist appointment at 9 a.m., right? It reminds me of the conversation we had with Jeff a few weeks back around the scheduling our practice year. And that automatic assumption of, no, I mean, how am I going to do that every day at 9 o'clock? No, I'm not going to do that. But stopping and asking the question. And for some folks, it might not be that, okay, I'm able to get on the radio show every day. But some days maybe I can. And certainly the other days I can listen to the archive and get to have that, as you say, that whole Sangha experience that we're stepping through a process together. And this year, my gosh, the how you do anything is how you do everything. And using that workbook that we'll all get to do those exercises every day. Wow, that's extraordinary. I mean, I think that really adds another element to the piece you were talking about, if we're all looking at the same thing.
Yeah, I'm really excited about that, because I remember doing that workbook for the first time, and it was, I think, I'd been in practice just a little while, and it was, it brought up a lot.
It brought up
a lot. Some of which I think, I ended up, processing at the New Year's retreat. I brought it up, and then it was like, table it. And then, after many years later, it's like, okay. So I'm really excited to go through that workbook with the support of Sangha, because I do think that, it's going to bring up a lot. And having somewhere to process with it, to be with Sangha, like, no, you're not the only person who, goes through this kind of thing. It's, and also getting rid of the taboo about, talking about certain things or bringing out certain things, or realizing that it's all part of practice. I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, that underlines another really important point you made earlier, too, is just the having the touch, being able to touch base with Sangha every single day really does lead us to see that it's truly all a workshop and that there's nothing, it's such a place of freedom because it reminds us that there's nothing that could happen that I'm not adequate to, that I can't in some way practice with. And if it feels like I can't, my gosh, I'm only a phone call away, you know, 9 a.m., noon, whatever time zone you're in, to getting some support with that.
Yeah.
And when someone does that, when someone is up against something that just feels like, wow, I cannot see how I'm adequate to this. To me, those are some of the most amazing conversations with a guide, to hear people have the courage and willingness to not know and to call and get the support and to hear what comes out of that is so transformative for all of us.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a blessing to have somewhere to go with it, and it takes so much courage to be able to open your mouth when ego is telling you that you can't. It's heroic.
It is. It truly is.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, and another thing I will say is about the recording, you know, on the days that I wasn't able to go, there was that, oh, I can't wait, you know, I really want to hear it. And, you know, whenever I had time, a half an hour during the day, you know, night or, you know, taking a walk sometime, there's, you know, just kind of that excited energy to like, oh, I have some special thing I'm going to go find and listen to. That was a really fun part of it too.
Yeah, that is fun. And to have all of the archives there, so ones that, you know, sometimes I'd make a note to myself, oh, got to go back to that one, you know, one that really struck a chord and get to listen to it again. And the whole team behind the scenes, wow, that makes that all happen. I mean, those archives go up almost immediately. It's amazing.
That was a really, really cool part about it. Yeah, if you were able to miss it, you weren't able to make it, then, you know, less than an hour later, usually they were up.
Yeah. So I see we're at the top of the hour. Anna, was there anything else you wanted to add in before we end?
I would just say thank you. I mean, gosh, wow. I just, thank you. I'm so glad that we have this opportunity. And I will say, like, if anyone's on the fence, and, you know, I think for me, when I signed up last year, I think someone said something like, you know, just sign up and then life will take care of it. Like, look to see how it can happen. You know, you don't have to know how it's going to happen before you take the first step. And I think for me, for me, that was a big, okay, I'm going to, you know, I'm going to sign up. I don't know how this is going to work out, but I'm open to how it can work out.
Yeah, exactly. I was just going to say, whatever you do, don't look to conditioned mind to see how it's going to work out. This is what we're trained to do. Yeah. All right, Anna. Well, thank you so much for being with us this afternoon.
Thank you. Thanks for the opportunity.
All right. Take care. Good night.
You too. Good night.
And Michael, we'll turn it over to you to start the show.
Wonderful. Thank you, Anna. And thank you, Jen. And good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air. I'm pleased to be joined tonight by Jen, who's a monk at the Zen Monastery Peace Center. Welcome, Jen.
Nice to be here, Michael. Thank you.
Great. And I'd like that conversation.
Me too. I was just going to say quickly, as many people likely know, Sherry is, you know, at her computer typing furiously doing the email class. So.
Yes. Hard
to be.
Keyboard. Go ahead.
Keyboard flying.
Keyboard smoking,
as enlightened as we are, as one might be, it's still hard to be in two places at one time. So.
Yeah, that'll be next year's program, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
New levels of enlightenment.
New levels, yep. Yeah, no, I enjoyed the conversation too. I'm having the same experience where not having the show is a blessing, because it's that place I often talk about, one of my favorite quotes, that humans have an infinite ability to take things for granted. So it's really nice to have that mirror to not take it for granted.
Yes, I agree. I agree completely. And I think a month is about long enough to go through the pain of the not having the show.
Okay, we get the point.
I get the point. I'm not taking it for granted. Please come back.
Yeah. And I think that was, you know, I was thinking about that at the end of the conversation with Anna, that I appreciated that process that I heard Sherry and Ashwini walk through in deciding whether or not to offer it again, you know, because there is that dynamic that we talked about, that there tends to be, oh, you know, I think I'll do something else this year. I did that last year. And that people will often not sign up for something that they, quote, have already done. But then, I mean, just so many people writing in and talking on shows and that sort of thing about the support of it and how transformative it was for folks, I think really making that conscious decision that it seems like it's a really important piece of practice for people right now, so deciding to do it again.
Yes, and there were many things that I enjoyed about your conversation with Anna, and one of them was, for Anna, was that it was an organizing force for her day.
Yeah.
And I really appreciated that. And it was that way for me. And I listened to a lot of shows live. And even when I couldn't get to the live show because of a meeting or life or whatever, it was still, you know, I was aware that the show was going on. I was aware that I was going to listen to the recording later in the day. It was still a presence for me, which was great.
Yes, yes, exactly so. Yeah, that's such a great point. Yeah, that it was there. It's that place where I hear people talk sometimes about something like the New Year's retreat or, you know, that sort of thing where they might be really used to doing that. Usually that's a part of their year, and for whatever reason they can't do it one time. And talking about, but you know what? It didn't matter because the Sangha was there for me, and I felt the presence of it happening. So just that place where, you know, it's like if one person is practicing, there's a way in which they're practicing for all of us.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. Yep. And we all need to do our best for our own practice and for everyone else, it seems like.
Yes. Yep, exactly so.
Mm-hmm. Great. And I have announcements here.
Okay, perfect.
So following up from your conversation with Anna, our new year-long retreat, How You Do Anything is How You Do Everything, is an opportunity to bring karmic patterns and survival mechanisms into the light of conscious, compassionate awareness so you will be free to have an authentic life experience. The retreat with Sherry starts March 1 and includes a radio show each weekday morning. And I think you said that sign up is open. Is that correct, Jen?
Yeah. Where I found it was on the schedule. I went to the 2018 schedule.
Okay.
And under March, it's the only item listed there, and the registration now link is live.
Okay, great. Great.
Yep.
I promise not to go there until after the show's over.
Exactly.
Just to be clear to everyone.
I'm here. I'm here.
I'm still here. And new group coaching offerings in March will provide support around two important topics, conscious compassionate action beginning March 15th and parenting with the mentor beginning March 16th. Weekly group calls and email check-ins are part of these powerful coaching opportunities.
You know what I just saw, Michael? It would be such a hoot to sign up for the parenting one, no matter what, even if you're not a parent, because, of course, we are. We so completely are. And the way, you know, I project many parents would sign up for that coaching because, you know, they want to really interact with their children from conscious, compassionate awareness, and they want to be as kind as they can and, you know, all those things. And that so often, you know, we're not the way we want to be with the people we love, especially little people. But I just saw how, gosh, how much of an impact that could have on our own internal relationship with the, quote, little folks could be really fun.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That crossed my mind also when I read the title.
It's fun.
Are you ready to take a courageous dive into emotions you've never been allowed truly to examine? Then the When You're Falling Dive Retreat, guided by Sherry and Ashwini in North Carolina, is for you. The retreat runs from April 9th through 14th and includes yoga, delicious vegetarian meals, and individual guidance with Sherry.
Great retreat. Fabulous curriculum.
Step away from the pressures of day-to-day living and immerse yourself in a monastic community completely focused on waking up. The Your Practice Retreat, April 28th through May 5th, at the Zen Monastery Peace Center near Murphy's, California, provides individualized support with what you choose as your practice focus for your stay. The retreat is a prerequisite for anyone considering being a first-time visiting monk.
Another excellent retreat, and it's already gorgeous at the monastery. We kind of skipped winter, so we should probably be headed towards summer at that point.
Yes, great. And if you have a favorite quote from Sherry's responses in the current email class, we would like to invite you to share it with Sangha. Please direct the quote to peacequotes@livingcompassion.org. so it can be sent out to Sangha through the Daily Peace Quotes program. And for these and other spiritual opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org. And a few reminders, if you'd like to talk with Jen today, you can make a show by pressing *6 and then 1, and a conversation of about 5 minutes that's focused on one topic is really great. Okay, Jen, you all ready?
I am set.
Okay, great. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Linda from Alabama.
Hey, Linda.
Hey, Linda.
Hey, Jen, Michael. Well, darn.
Very first.
Well, I guess you know, when you're waiting, there's always these topics that run through your mind. But I guess what's been going on with me the most lately is I'm in a situation where, with my extended family, where a couple of my cousins sort of took stole some money from the rest of us, basically, in a business sort of thing. And so I thought, well, how have I been dealing with it? I go back and forth between being really upset about it and just kind of accepting it and, you know, taking the next step and that sort of thing. So I don't know exactly what the question
is. Well, and Linda, when you say accepting it, does it feel like it really is accepting it? Or does it feel like it's the other side of the duality from being really upset about it?
That's a good question. Well, an example is that they did something to say, because they kind of did this thing to say that we wrote these checks, and because we wrote these checks, it wasn't really stealing. You know, we were just holding the checks, but they had no way to pay the checks back. So I found myself telling myself over and over again, well, that's stealing. If they didn't know how they're going to pay, that's stealing. And so I realized that was just making me suffer. So I said, so I just stopped saying it.
Mm-hmm.
So that, I think, was helpful rather than other than duality. Sometimes probably it's been going on for a while, so sometimes I'm probably doing both, going to the other end.
Right.
But I do find that if I don't tell myself stories or don't just constantly, I don't know. I mean, we're not going to prosecute them, so it's sort of like there's that, you know.
Yeah. It's such an interesting place, isn't it? And it feels like we've been sort of looking at this sort of thing so much in practice lately, where, you know, it's that piece of, if I don't tell myself the story, And the first piece that we look at is, gosh, it's not actually even me telling myself the story, very likely, right?
Right.
It's that place where, you know, conditioning gets a sense of, whoa, there is a lot of mileage in here. You know,
right. I found the thing. Yeah.
I have found, all right, we have a topic here. And so anytime it doesn't have you, you know, anytime you're accidentally present or consciously present or, you know, whatever it is, it can pull that one out of the hat. Oh, my God, can you believe? And they, you know,
right.
That feeling. I mean, they wrote the, they knew the. So it knows it can get you with that.
Right.
Right. So so there's that place of, I'm not having that conversation. I am not having that conversation. And that is super helpful, really, really helpful. And then there's that place where there's a sense of, I don't know if you heard, it came up in the Musings article, like one or two Musings articles ago, and Sherry talked about it, I think it was in an email class, where it's that place of, I'm going to, quote, turn my attention away from this, but it's still really sort of running the show, but I'm, quote, turning my attention away from it.
I guess.
And so,
not sure I have,
you know.
Yeah.
Okay. So I just wondered like, if you've had it. Yeah, go ahead.
Underlying, you mean it's still there underneath, like even though
you... Yeah, like I'm not... Away? Yeah, like almost the image that I've been using for it lately is it gets filed.
Right.
You know, so it's not right in front of my face, but it's not, it's also not the same as kind of moving right through it.
Right.
Well, and
is
so
it, I think I do.
Go ahead.
I mean, in several things lately, it's like I realize this sort of like almost holding your breath sort of feeling, or so you're not like you're not thinking about it that minute, or you're not dealing with it. But there's, and I find it, this sort of exciting to me that I that once I recognize it, I can, but I can release it or.
Yeah,
I kind of think of it as uncovering,
yeah.
you know, uncovering my back to my, you know, calm self or whatever that I can just kind
yeah.
of let it go.
Yeah. So if I'm tracking what you're saying, that there's a difference between those two places. The holding your breath place is it's not it's like you know something poking you right, and it's not poking you right this minute. So there's kind of a relief, like, okay, I'm okay now. But the whole system is sort of tensed against, but it's going to happen again, and I got to defend against it and make sure it doesn't.
Right.
And right? So it's not a place of freedom. But then
right.
that other place that you describe where you can actually turn and see it and release it, that's a really different process, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah, it comes back awfully quick, but I'm just so excited that I'm good at all right now. I'm just like, it's recent for me, so.
And, you know, Linda, that is such a great point. I'm sorry, say that again?
Just learning to sustain it would be great, but.
And, you know, in my experience, a piece of it is that it's kind of back to the acceptance, what I was asking. Does it feel like it's really accepted? Because in that largest place of acceptance, in my experience, part of what gets accepted is that there's a reaction. And that's okay.
Right.
And that I don't need to be afraid of that. And it doesn't mean anything about me. And it doesn't make me the wrong person. And this is a big one, I have tools for that. Because the place I think I project that a lot of people get to with it is like, no, I can't, that can't be okay because then I'm going to say really mean stuff and I'm going to suffer and I'm going to, you know, whatever it might be for each person. But just because those reactions happen and they happen very close to me, maybe, you know, come through my head and, you know, all those things doesn't mean I necessarily have to interact with anyone else about it. I mean, that's where the recorder can come in.
True. Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah.
So to just, you know, I mean, it's a classic two-handed recording opportunity, right? To put that recorder in the right hand and just let whoever, whatever, just talk about this thing. God, but it, you know, it just really, especially if you can get to the feeling. You know, it hurt my feelings, or it really makes me mad,
afraid. And they're not even remorseful. It's like, so all that and yet to keep from suffering beyond the suffering. I mean, I don't think you could not suffer at all when something like that happens, but then there's all those added layers of suffering. So I think that's what you're saying.
Say that again.
You're going to have some reaction if something like that happens. So then it's just how not to add on suffering to that.
Yeah.
Either ruminating about it or.
Exactly.
I mean,
exactly. That is the worst. That's just when we just get dragged into it over and over against our will, really.
Right. Yeah.
But that would be such an interesting sort of koan to explore with this, Linda, is that place where you said, well, you've got to suffer some in it because there's going to be some reaction. But what would be so fascinating to see is if all of it were truly held in acceptance and the reaction was just what the reaction is, you know, no control, if you will, in quotes, over that, and that was all completely all right, would there be suffering with it? And, you know, it's not something we can answer just kind of sitting here thinking about it hypothetically, but it'll be really, really interesting to see as you practice with that, which part exactly is the suffering? Because if we're just going, we were talking about this in group the other night, if we're just going along being human beings, you know, sentient beings in a body with senses, with experiences, including conditioned mind and all that comes with that, if all of that were completely all right and everything that comes with that, would we suffer?
I like that. Okay, I'm going to listen to this and then I'm going to do a two-handed recording about it.
Yeah, exactly. And let whatever wants to be expressed about the whole thing in the right hand truly be expressed. Truly be, well, but I mean, there's no, and it's not fair, and I can't believe it, and I'm afraid, and just all of those things. And then, as you know, listening back to it, and just listening, and then pausing, and waiting to hear what arises in the left hand as support and compassion, very likely, for
right.
all of that. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Thank you so much.
And then this is a report back moment, I think. So,
okay,
you'll have to report back, Linda.
All right.
Okay, take good care.
Thank you again.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye bye.
Thanks for joining us, Linda. Let me get my mouse back here.
Mm-hmm.
Jen, it sounded like you were suggesting at the end there that there's nothing wrong.
It sounds a lot like that, doesn't it?
No, I'm not
yes,
sure.
We creep up on that.
Yeah, that was really powerful, that whole idea of if it's all accepted within this human being, including conditioned mind and all my reactions, and wow, that's powerful.
It's really powerful because one of the things that opens a space for that I've been looking at in my own practice recently is just that place of it's not going to sound new, okay, Michael? not taking any of it personally. And when it's not personal, it's like, well, right, this is a human being. This, I'm pointing to Jen, right? This is a human being. So all of the human experiences happen here. How would they not? And what would even think that they shouldn't?
Yeah.
And so if we really step back to that place where it's truly all completely all right, it really does become fascinating. Because then I'm simultaneously inside of a human experience and witnessing a human experience from the inside.
Yeah.
So it's really,
yes,
it's an amazing adventure.
Powerful. Powerful.
Yeah.
Great. Yeah. Jen, let's talk to another caller here.
Okay.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Marianne from Vancouver, Canada, calling.
Hey, Marianne.
Hi,
how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Excellent, thank you.
So this is me reporting in on my experiment with guilt.
Oh, very good. A report back, just like we were asking of Linda.
And this was as a result of the New Year's retreat and dealing with difficult emotions. Mm. And what happened for me for guilt was I sort of had a blank out where I never heard the question, I never heard the exercise, I never heard what I was supposed to, just lost those 5 minutes.
All systems on shutdown.
Yes. So this is sort of kind of maybe points to there might be something there. But
exactly so, huh? This is interesting.
But
might be something to look at here.
So I made a little commitment about looking at it and kind of reporting in and just keep checking on to see if I can get any read on this, because it's very, very hidden, I think. Mm. Whatever it is very hidden. And
yeah. And Marianne, may I stop you for a moment without you forgetting where you're going with it?
Yeah, sure.
Because that in itself is really a pretty extraordinary process. So you're in a retreat, a topic comes up, there's an exercise around it, and there's just this blank. And then instead of, I mean, what would be so easy to do is like, I don't know. I mean, that was interesting. That one didn't really resonate for me. But instead, it's a flag for you. Huh. Well, that's really interesting. And so then you start to look. And not only do you look, but you keep it in your awareness, because we're, well over a month out from the New Year's retreat, and continuing to look at it and keeping a commitment to report back. That in itself is quite a process of transformation right there.
Well, thank you for recognizing that, Jen. I appreciate it, because it feels very strange. Like I'm, you know, well aware of all my other lively emotions. But this is elusive. So I've noticed, though, that the only time I have a twinge that might be something around guilt is when I'm doing the daily recollection, and I come to the part where I say, I can't just think of the words. It's around right self-discipline.
Compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret.
Yes, that brings no regret. And then it's like somebody has turned the knob on really low. And so it's just, I'm not sure what that is, but that's sort of where I've got.
Uh-huh. And so in that, when that line comes up in the recollection, are you aware of a message? And it might not be in words, but kind of like, a meaning that's sort of oozes through the...
Well, what I know about myself is I'm a very disciplined person.
Okay.
So, if I do something, if I have a commitment to myself and I don't, you know, I go off rails or I forget to record or, you know, something, mm-hmm. I think that there might be, it's coming to me, there might be some injunction like I'm not good because I didn't follow through on self-discipline.
So if you don't keep those commitments perfectly, we could say, then you're on the other end of a beating, and however possibly subtle.
I think that maybe that's what. Yeah, otherwise I wouldn't have a twinge when I do that recitation.
Yeah, yeah.
Look, so I might have missed something. I am probably guilty about doing something that, not doing something.
Uh-huh, yeah, yeah. I probably am guilty of not doing something. Even if I can't think what that is, I probably am. That sort of a sense?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so you said you're a highly disciplined person. So, for example, if you're going to meet someone at 3 o'clock, you're going to be there at 3 o'clock.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And what would happen if you weren't?
I would probably feel a bit bad for keeping somebody waiting. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Because it's just interesting, one of the things that we talk about with duality especially is that often when a duality is strong enough for us and we really find ourselves dominated by one side, sometimes the other side is completely obscured from us.
Mm.
And so, you know, it sounds like that's a bit of what you're describing where, you know, I'm so, like, the rigidity of what you describe is such a clue, isn't it? That you have to be this way. You have to be, because if you're not, then, and you may not even be able to fill in that blank right now yet.
Well,
I
would have to go back and retake the course. There is nothing wrong with you.
Uh-huh. That's what the voice says?
Well, that's what I say. Is like, obviously you haven't got it right.
Yeah, exactly.
It's something like that, you know. Just,
yeah.
It doesn't have to make sense.
Yeah, yeah. So, like with all of us, whatever our deal is, and I know you know this, you've had many experiences and talked about them, whatever our deal is, that's what the voices are going to do in practice. So they're going to torture us with whatever is effective for them to torture us with. So it's not going to talk to you about, you know, God, you're such a lazy slob and you never follow through with people and because that's not what it can get you with. Instead, it's got you talking about you have to do everything perfectly. You have to do it right. And if you're not getting it, then you're clearly, you need to go back and do it again because you're clearly not, you're not getting it.
I think there's a part of that. I think that's partly true, but I think another part of it is that it's not that I'm not getting it right. It's that I can't keep the commitment to myself. So I don't know if that falls in that duality thing.
And you can't keep the commitment to yourself because?
conditioning takes over.
Which is, I mean, when you say that, that's completely what happens, isn't it? But the funny part is, conditioning isn't the one that gets held responsible for it. You do.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Could you just tell me again, because this, you know, this is a thing, the thing about when you have a mind that goes blank on things, sometimes you cannot actually hear what people say. And I heard you say something about it gets us with duality, but sometimes you don't see the opposite side.
Right, so if we're very dominated by one side, so you'll see it sometimes in projection, right? So, like, if someone doesn't show up on time for an appointment with you, what do you project onto them?
Well, there's some reason, or... I'm a lot less anxious about it now than I used to be. I would hold everybody to the same standard as I had to meet before.
Right.
But I don't do that now.
Right. That's so that piece of it's maybe gotten let go. But so let's say someone's in a retreat and they have that same kind of right wrong. Gotta, you know, hold the standards perfectly that you're describing. And then we do a projection exercise and they're projecting, God, look at that person. You know, they can't ever keep commitments. And then we suggest try, you know, owning that projection. Well, no, that's not me. I always keep my commitments. I don't not keep my commitment. I'm not someone who lets people down. So it can be very tricky to see the other side of a duality if we're so controlled to stay on the one side of the duality.
Okay, that's enough. Right, reporting.
So, what's that?
I just went, oh, that's enough reporting. This is making my head hurt.
Yeah. Well, and I just think it's fun, Marianne. I go back to the very first part about the process that, you know, there's a way in which maybe you'll never, quote, find out, you know, discover what the guilt smokescreen is all about. But there's a way in which that's irrelevant. That process of inquiry and continuing to look and to stay open, that's everything. Because to me, the big piece of it is that we're controlled by conditionings in so many ways, on so many levels. And so to be willing, it's like we were talking about with Anna in the Good News Update, to be willing to see everything in our life as a workshop. And same with Linda, you know, the being controlled by that conversation of, well, God, but they stole from you. I mean, God, to use everything as a workshop, to just watch the process around it. You know, so for you to just watch, you know, what happens with that line in the daily recollection and not to need to figure it out, but to just to keep holding it as a koan, just what? That's so what? And to watch for where does the, you know, how is it that I don't experience guilt? And I'll just bet you that as you keep going with it, you know, you're going to be going around in your life and you're going to not be thinking about it at all. And it's going to drop in, I think that was guilt. That I think that was an experience of guilt.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just, I know you know that experience, it just begins to unravel itself. And the delight of the inquiry becomes the whole point, not the content of necessarily what we're looking at.
Yes, thank you for reminding me of that. I actually, you know, that's what I really love about this practice is how we look at the process of what's going on, and we move away from the content that hooks us so badly.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it's another report back moment.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Michael.
All right. Thanks, Marianne.
Good night.
You're welcome, and thanks for joining us, Marianne. And Jen, I think the two of you at the end there really got to what I was seeing also was the willingness to look and go mm-hmm. deeper, and I just really appreciated that.
Yeah, it's the whole thing.
It's the whole deal. And Jen, we're going to break here and hear from our sponsor, and then we'll be back in a minute.
Okay, very good.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What skies would you fly? How wide would you open? What would you sing if you gave voice to your beautiful heart?
This great song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart. And one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to Open Air. And Jen, we have another caller here.
All right, very good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Jen, it's Ramita.
Hey, Ramita.
Oh, I'm so glad I got on. The first two calls and the conversations really spoke to what's been going on with me. There's a lot of content happening right now. But what I saw in the first conversation mirrors my experience of the way conditioning is keeping me from having reactions or trying to tell me that my reactions to content are not right. The sense of urgency, you know, on one hand, forget it, don't pay any attention to it, but it's being filed, and it's really got so much sensation going on.
Wow, that was helpful right there, Ramita. Just quickly, what I saw with that was when it gets filed, it's only filed to be brought back out, as Linda was describing, at a time when we don't want it to be. In other words, it's conditioning is choosing to file it and when to bring it back out of the file and throw it in front of us.
Yep. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then when I need to be urgent about it. So it's either ignore it and let it simmer in the background or be really urgent and jump in there and do something about it. And both, it's not exact. Well, I guess it could be a duality too. One of those, you know, I'm doing my best to just stay with it. And as I was, you know, of course, listening to Open Air and Good News, you know, just drops me into center. And then I start seeing more about the situation that I hadn't recognized before. And just really grateful for practice and trying, I don't know. It's one of those situations where I wanted desperately to talk to wise counselors about it and picked up my recorder, and that's been helpful. But it's, there continues to be additional content added to the mix, so I get revved up again.
And is that okay?
Well, I go back and forth between, you know, I need to do something to fix this to make the feelings, the sensations calm down. And then, when I get a little closer to center, say, okay, this is one of those human emotions that I don't often let myself have because of conditioned judgment. And, you know, what is it? What does it feel like? What Can I just be here with it?
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, because, you know, it's just that place where so something big is happening and it's all kind of stirred up, and then, you know, we either it settles down for a while or we see something about it, you know, and we're really practicing with it and there's some freedom from it, and so there's much less suffering with it. And it's really hard not to go to a place of, okay, please let it stay this way. Right?
Yes. Yes.
And then the next thing gets added on, sounds like on a content level, stirs it back up, and there's a sense of, oh, no.
Yeah, and that mm-hmm. reminds me such a so true in my experience. I was sitting yesterday morning, and everything was stirred up. You know, it was just this mm-hmm. maelstrom, and I'm doing my best to be in the eye of the storm and just recognize, okay, this is just how it is right now. Not anything wrong with this. And, you know, the conversation was, you know, you need to do something. What are you going to do? You need to do something. What are you going to do? And then out of, you know, that moment of grace where it dropped in, trust me. And that was the mentor just saying, you know, you're practicing letting me lead you. Trust me.
Yep. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
A moment of relief and just like, okay, increased tolerance for the urgency that, you know, I don't have to let conditioning take this over and add to the fire. I can just wait and I will be guided. I will know when the next step is and what the next step looks like.
Wow. That is so powerful. So what we learn in that, you know, as I listen to you, is that those sensations that happen around that, because I'm projecting with that urgency, there's a lot of sensation that goes with that. And just learning that, wow, it truly is okay. I am adequate to this. I don't even have to like it or, if, you know, there's no requirement to have any relationship with it, really. But it's all right for it to be there. And I can literally or metaphorically sit still with it.
Yeah. It's not been easy, but nobody ever said life was going to be easy.
Right.
I actually had to go to the doctor at one point just because I've never had hypertension, and my blood pressure just went through the roof. And
wow.
I just needed some external validation that things were going to be okay, and I got it. But the body has been reacting in ways that just outside of the experience I've had so far. So,
and you know, Ramita, that's interesting. That strikes me as such a tangible, compassionate action, right? So, I mean, you have a medical background, so, you know, there's a way in which the voices could go, oh, come on, I mean, you know this stuff, you don't need to, whatever, blah, blah. But there's concern there, and I want some reassurance that it's going to be okay. And so I go, and I get that reassurance that it's going to be okay. It reminds me of the Fear book, where Sherry talks about the example of, you know, the someone being, you know, deathly afraid that someone's going to come into the house at night, and the lengths that, in that example, she talks about going to so that that person will feel safe at night.
Yes, thank you. That's exactly the kind of parallel. I hadn't seen it. It was, but yes, that was a compassionate act. And staying with myself in the midst of this is one of the most powerful things I've experienced. And
wow. And, you know, two pieces of that to really, you know, express to her, wow, this is amazing, you know, to watch you doing this, to watch your willingness to go through this, you know, and also to just that communication to her, like it sounds like you've been doing, of you just let me know, you just say the word, whatever it is, I'm here. What do you need?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you.
It is hard, you know. Oh, it is hard.
It is hard, and my gosh, the incredible blessing of Sangha and practice and avenue right here to be able to talk with you and have Michael facilitate. You know, it's just, we're such lucky human beings. So
yeah, we are, Ramita. And again, I think it was Anna that was saying this earlier, but, you know, the courage that we project onto someone when they call in and talk about something like you're talking about, it's so paying it forward, because how many people are listening right now or are going to listen to this archive and are going through whatever they're going through and have that support of, okay, it can be done. It can be done.
Yes, and before you and I started talking, I'm like, how in the world can I talk about this without content? How in the world can I talk about this without content? And with your help, it's just, it's process and it applies. So
yeah,
I'll be listening to this again and again.
Well, thank you, Ramita. Thank you for the gift of putting it out there.
Thank you so much, Jen. Good night. Good night, Michael.
Appreciate it. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Ramita. You two almost have me in tears over here, Jen and Ramita. It's really powerful to hear that courage and compassion. And as you said, Jen, it is incredibly inspiring for me and I project for people who, other people listening and in the archives as well.
Yeah, and you know, Michael, I don't know if I can quite articulate what was just passing through at the end of that conversation, but so Ramita comes on, someone comes on and talks about being in a really challenging place like that, and we can all go there. And that just having someone be willing to process like that with all of us listening in is such a gift. And I project there's a way in which, as the person speaking, we receive that gift from ourselves, if you will. That's the clumsy part. It's not really from ourselves, but we also receive the gift in a way we wouldn't if we didn't call in and talk about it. Just our own, it's like listening back to our own recordings, I guess. It's just, it's amazing that our own practice is such a tremendous support for us in those times where it feels like, wow, there's nothing that's going to get me through this. But yeah, it does.
Yes, exactly, exactly. And I don't know if I can put this into words either, but there's a sense, as we talk about all the time, that it's often easier to see more clearly what's going on with someone else than it is in myself.
And I
project such willingness and courage onto Ramita and everyone else going through whatever, as you said, whatever that difficult time is, and it takes me to a place of, for myself, knowing, almost not even needing my difficulties to go away, but just knowing it gives me the strength to be to be with them, and it's like a portal to my courage as well.
Yes, well put, well put, exactly, because there's Ramita over there in her corner doing that, and there's Michael working with that, and then there's Linda working with that, and wow, yeah, it really gives me, well, first of all, it gives me, it breaks through that illusion like Ramita was talking about, that this is somehow wrong, something's gone wrong here, I shouldn't have to do, it shouldn't be like this, life is not supposed to be this hard. Well, actually, when I look around me and I hear what other people are talking about, that's not true. And so that in itself is such a huge relief. And then it really does free me up to just turn and look directly at, you know, back to the, it's all a workshop.
Wow. Wow. Powerful stuff.
Yeah.
Powerful group of people. Jen, I think we have time for one more conversation, maybe a little shorter one, but I think we're good.
Okay. Great.
Next caller, you are live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, good evening, Michael and Jen. It's Todd.
Hey, Todd.
Hey.
I'm not in the quietest area. So I'm just going to move if I can find a quieter area. I put
we heard some background noise at first, but we don't now.
Okay, thank you. let's try this. If you just
the great conductor of life.
Yeah, there we go.
You.
went with in the queue and then made an assumption. I'll never get on. I'm okay where I am, and here we are.
Little did you know, it's time for your instrument to be heard.
Very good, very good. Well, this is fun. End of the show. I can make this pretty succinct. What I've been looking at is the quick content is. Last week I got hit by a car on my bicycle.
Wow.
Yeah. And it felt like a near-death experience because it was pretty amazing how it all happened. And I survived it with just scrapes and scratches.
Wow.
And it was a hit and run. And the person, this person sped off. Mm-hmm. I went over my handlebars, hit my head on their bumper, and just, you know, I'm looking at the grace of life that I rolled away from the tires, and they just sped by my like just missed me by an inch of getting run over, and then people stopped and I was assisted, and but since then I'm just looking at this process of, like you said earlier, Jen, conditional, take anything that's a real nugget or juicy and just use it against stuff, and it's just been replaying it and replaying it, and and I'm really spooked now because 95% of my transportation is bicycling, just a commitment to the planet and to myself, and I really love the ability to be able to function on a bicycle and move around the city and do what I need to do, and I noticed this last week I'm just really I do have my car here, but I'm not using it. I'm still using the bike, but wow, it's a workshop every time I get back on it because I have I actually have flashbacks.
Sure.
Of this event, and I just maybe you could see some guidance of just kind of working with it. The two end recording's been very helpful because there's someone who was just, you know, I felt like a pretty young person. I was pretty traumatized by it. I've been using that.
You know, it really is similar to some of the other things we've talked about tonight, especially with Ramita, isn't it, Todd?
It is, exactly. Yeah.
Because it takes me right back to that very same image from the Fear book of that amazingly compassionate process of, you know, gosh, this guy has been through something big.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, is he even, I don't know if you even go to the, you know, sort of have conversations before you get on the bike to go to the next place. Are you ready to be on the bike?
Yeah.
Maybe he's not. Maybe he is. You know?
That's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
So not that place of, you know, again, we're back to duality. It's sort of that fuck up, get back on the horse, you know, get right back on. And, you know, but also not, you know, oh, it's okay. You never want to ride a bike again. That's okay. You know, because that's the place where our lives get smaller and smaller and smaller because, you know, I can't do that and I can't eat that and I can't, you know, because everything sets me off and I don't want to be set off.
Yes.
So what's that middle way where there really is that acknowledgement that this guy just had a pretty big thing happen?
Yeah.
I mean, as you say, a near-death experience. I mean, in the sense of, yes, you walked away with scrapes, and so you weren't in a coma, you didn't break bones, you didn't all of that,
but
I mean, it's such a poignant reminder that the hair's breadth away from, you know, that line.
Yeah, and I was just talking recently on Open Air about taking nothing for granted. Boy, did that take it to a new level, you know?
Oh, I bet.
You know, it's like, I kind of got swung on the duality of like, oh my God, oh my goodness, oh my goodness. Yeah, I was almost killed. And then, you know, the next day I'm like, oh my, you know, every blade of grass is amazing because I'm alive.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I got like this pendulum of, you know, this, how is it using it against me? Sort of like, oh, you know, like, you know, just enjoy the stew out of every second. And now like, oh my God, you just about died. Like, oh.
Right.
Like, you know, like life isn't safe, that kind of message.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like,
well,
careful.
And it just, you know, we always look at that image of being with a small child who has been through something like this. You know, not in a million years would we ever bring it up again and say, oh my God, you almost died. do you realize you almost died? I mean, if you'd rolled the other way under those, no way. Mm-hmm. And at the same time,
yeah.
we're going to be right there ready for any time he wants to talk about it.
Yeah,
absolutely ready.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Thank you. Thank you for that. Yeah. It was an interesting, he did want to kind of up the visibility game. So we went to the bike store and got a really bright fluorescent vest and a couple of really bright flashing lights. That was his first concern was, let's just get really super visible. Because the car that hit me did not see me. And I thought I had made some visibility with this car. Like what I tried to do was turning on a red and I was on a green. So there was an assumption, you know, which is interesting to look at the process. But, you know, I think we went to a bike store and we got some safety gear and we wear our vest now and we walk our bike through intersections. We don't bike through like we used to. So there's some interesting things that have dropped in, like life have dropped in some encouragements that, you know what, we don't have to give up the biking, but we can maybe look at some different possibilities of being on the road that can make everyone safe.
Yes. And, you know, Todd, the way you describe it, I just project you're completely on track. It's a process.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
It's a process, and it's new. It's still really, really new.
It's really, really raw, too. Really new, and really, the emotions are really raw, and it's really on the surface. It's really on the surface.
Yeah.
It's in the front of my awareness almost for it's only been a week or less than that. Yeah.
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 And maybe just to take it, you know, day by day or even hour by hour, you know, again, when it's time to set out for wherever to check in. What transportation shall we take?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, because in the same way that decision to ride a bike comes from, I would project, such a place of love. You know, you talked about the commitment to the planet and to all of those things.
And to exercise.
And to exercise.
Yeah.
And now we're taking even one step back, making it even bigger in what gets considered in which form of transportation we're going to take today.
Oh, that's such a great point, Jen. You know, I didn't even see that expanded possibility, and thank you for that.
Because
maybe now it is appropriate, like, you know what, maybe we should take a car today. It's okay.
Yeah.
You know, don't get stuck in that all or nothing.
Right,
which
exactly.
Which is a place conditioning loves to get me, all or nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. You know, because you're clearly in communication with all these folks internally, and you're in the process of looking at all of this. So I'm not hearing a big shutdown, and from now on, we're not at all.
No.
We can trust ourselves to have a little bit of space to really check in and see what seems right today.
Right, and even a little bit of levity about it too.
Exactly.
You know, a little bit of levity, and but what was interesting is we're at the top of the hour, but it's been very difficult not to retell the story. It's just there isn't a person I come into and just all of a sudden they're like, "What's been going on, Todd?" Well, actually, you know, let me tell you, I got hit by a car. No, but it's just the retelling of it. I'm just wondering how far that needs to go. I don't know, Jenna, if that's I don't know retelling the story is at a point now is helpful.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm looking at that.
Yeah, well, that might be another perfect place to just kind of check in
moment
by moment. I would imagine you run into someone you haven't seen and they ask you, what's been going on? It might be a little challenging, not to mention you got hit by a car.
It is pretty challenging.
That's pretty much what's been going on.
Thank you. It is pretty challenging. And the amazement of them, like, oh my goodness, like you're walking and talking. And I said, even that, I just got a few scrapes. Like it's really the miracle involved of the whole process of like how I was not severely injured is really still. Yeah. I'm kind of in shock about not being injured as opposed to being injured.
Yes, absolutely.
That's the amazing part. It's like I literally was not injured. And yet the ladies that stopped behind me were like, oh, my God, like, how are you not killed? We thought you were killed.
Right.
That was their process. Wow. And I said, no, I think I'm okay. And it took me a while to get together. But so anyway, I thank you for thanks to all Sangha and you and Michael. And I know Sherry's busy with the email class, which is awesome. So I just want to echo everyone's thoughts of being supported and having the ability to process this with a facilitator. It's really, really helpful.
Yeah, well, it's just thank you for, you know, telling us all about it because it is, as you say, it's another really important reminder that We're not taking any of this for granted.
We can't. We don't know. I mean, I in my mind felt like, you know, there's no way I'm going to be in a car accident today, and I was. So it was the farthest thing from my mind. So thank you so much, and thank you, Mike.
All right. Thank you, Todd. Take
thank
really
you,
good care.
Thank you. Will do. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Todd. And thank you, Jen, for an awesome show with awesome callers. And I'm very inspired and grateful.
Me too. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you.
All right. Good night.